Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to open the committee, House Committee on Veteran Services and Emergency Preparedness. Appreciate everybody being here. Today is February 26th, 2013. And we have a couple bills up today that will deal with the issues regarding, I guess I'd just call it tuition, and how it relates into the school and university system. And looking forward to the testimony. This is an issue that we've been dealing with through the interim in several committees. We're all very familiar, for the most part, with the issue, and appreciate those here to testify today. I think for the ease of those testifying, because most folks are here to testify on either one or both bills, it might be easiest if we just open up the public hearing on both bills together to give you an opportunity to testify that way, and also make yourself available for the question and answer. So with that, I will open up a public hearing on House Bill 2158 and House Bill 2162. Ms. Edwards?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2158 requires public universities and community colleges to charge in-state tuition to veterans discharged from service under other than dishonorable conditions and enrolled as undergraduates. It would declare an emergency and be effective upon passage. There is a -1 amendment to House Bill 2158, which would extend in-state tuition to qualifying veterans enrolled as graduate students. House Bill 2162 removes the 12-month residency requirement for admission to Oregon community colleges and public universities for active members of the armed forces and their spouses and dependent children. It would apply to students admitted on or after the effective date.
Great, thank you. And I think just to keep the panels consistent, what we'll start with is Mark Sansusi with the Department of Defense. And if Mark can come forward, and then the next panel will be from the educated world. So we'll have Mr. Holliday and Mr. Wyckoff and, of course, Ms. Caldwell. So thank you very much, Mr. Sansusi. Good to see you. And state your name for the record, and you may begin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee. For the record, my name is Mark Sansusi. I'm the Department of Defense Regional Liaison for the Northwest. And I'm here in support Department of Defense support for HB 2158 regarding in-state tuition for our new veterans, and I'm also here to express support for HB 2162 for what it does. But frankly, the way that was not our instigation, even though active duty spouses and dependents are a concern of ours. Our target is the audience, the constituency in 2158. As far as giving new veterans in-state tuition as soon as they come here to be a duck or a beaver or go wherever they want to in Oregon, that is our intent. Because the post 9/11 GI Bill is great, but if in the first year they have to pay out-of-state rates because for whatever reason there's a huge difference between in-state and out-of-state rates. And I know that 6 out of 7 of you heard me say this stuff in September and December, so when you're ahead you should go be short and quick about it. So really, I just want to let you know that 19 states are providing the residency waivers so veterans get in-state tuition. And as I sit here right now, 14 other states have measures similar to what you're thinking, you're considering right now in the 2013 session. So our target, again, is the unemployed new veterans, younger ones, with the 18.1% unemployment rate. And that's where our focus is. So thank you for the consideration, and I stand for any questions.
And just part of your testimony, you covered it, but you had mentioned that a veteran's benefit only goes so far, and if they're paying the out-of-state rate initially, then, of course, that limits their ability to continue their education.
Mr. Chair, yes, sir, Mr. Chair. In many cases, if in-state rate is $10,000 in the post 9/11 GI Bill, which is very generous, is paying all that plus a housing stipend, but in that first year they have to pay out-of-state rates, and it's out-of-state's $20,000, then they have to take that $10,000 and find means to make up the difference. And then from years, the rest after the second through fourth year, when they're paying in-state rates, then they're synced up with the post 9/11 GI Bill. Our intent is to just try and help with that big delta that they're taking out of their pocket in that first year. And that's what the in-state rates you would provide would do.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Questions of the committee? And again, just an idea, how many states are doing this now, and what's the trend that you're seeing in terms of, you know, states coming together on this issue?
Mr. Chair, 19 states going into this session, 19 states were already doing it, including Idaho that passed a bill last year, and Alaska that already had the policy. Washington State, we have a couple bills up there that are going well, and there are 14 states besides Oregon considering this same stuff. So the trend is, of course, going towards helping the target audience, which is that new veteran, and trying to help with education and employment and that kind of thing.
Great. And Representative Parrish.
I just have a question that's kind of more broad, but I just want to make sure this doesn't indeed include spouses. It says it in the summary, but I'm trying to find the line. We go straight from what it says armed forces, and then it jumps right down to dependent, but it doesn't describe spouse in here. And the intent of this is to have spouse and dependent children.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Parrish, my interpretation is 2158 is about the veteran, 2162 is for active duty spouses and dependents.
And the
folks behind me who are going to talk about 2162, we've discussed things that they would like to see, and we're certainly amenable to that, and they can talk about that when they come forward.
Great, thank you.
So, you know, seeing that, I kind of follow you on Facebook, if you will, but I see you have a lot of victories out there, and you do a great job. I appreciate what you're doing for veterans. In your opinion, you see a path to success with this particular legislation and getting this through with all parties involved?
Mr. Chair, I certainly hope so. I guess in Oregon, the fiscal consideration comes next, because that's the difference in different states. In Washington State, we have a fiscal note that is high, and we've already been able to successfully debunk it in the fiscal committees because the notes were created by saying, well, if these veterans are not paying out-of-state money, we lose the money. Well, how can you say that? Because other people are filling in, though, taking those out-of-state spots and paying the out-of-state tuition. So, therefore, we think a fiscal consideration would be negligible, because once you make it law this summer, other people who apply to go to, you know, be a duck or a beaver are going to fill in those out-of-state slots, so it's not a loss in our view.
And I assume maybe in some cases they're also hinging on the fact that you'd have to have somebody who's willingly paying out-of-state tuition that would then pull from the system or stay in the system at an in-state rate to show any kind of a loss, I think. But you would also show a gain by those that would be coming into the system that ordinarily wouldn't.
You're, Mr. Chair, that's my testimony exactly. It is about incentivizing people to want to come to your state because you're doing this like all those other states are, versus some veteran who might not want to come here because they can go to Idaho or hopefully Washington State where they're going to get the in-state rate. That's certainly the intent. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Yes, Representative.
Well, I will say, I think we just had a tuition bill where fiscal issued a revenue positive statement for folks who would not maybe otherwise been attending college. So I would hope that there would be a revenue positive fiscal on this as well for consistency purposes.
And I appreciate you bringing that up, because that was my thought too. Was we had, it's not a similar circumstance, I don't want to frame the two the same, but we did have an issue or a conversation about how that impacts the system if folks are paying in-state or perhaps not even attending because of the in-state potential or out-of-state burden. So appreciate you bringing that forward. Yes, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I follow up a little bit on what Representative Parrish was saying. I pulled up the fiscal. Remember when we did the bill that allowed veterans? And there was a fiscal attached to that. So I find this very interesting of how things change in this building.
Yes.
That was a different day.
Now, what am I thinking? Well, that was a different day.
And
topic.
I wasn't here before, but it's my understanding that a bill that was considered before was to give free or tuition waiver for veterans, which would obviously have a fiscal, whereas this is just allowing them to pay in-state tuition.
Mr. Chair, Representative Fagan, I don't know anything about that. It wasn't mine, so I can't speak to it.
I appreciate you being here today. Any further questions of Mr. Sanssouci? Yes, Representative Huffman.
Well, I think the difference in the fiscal, Representative, is that we all know that community colleges can do everything for free, mm-hmm. and so there's no fiscal, where the OUS system is a totally different. Okay. Facetious, sorry. Withdraw the comment.
Yeah.
This is a fun
did you have a question in there, Representative?
No, absolutely
Mr.
not.
Mr. Chair, do we have
Wouldn't
to call on him?
And with that, thank you very much for being here, and thanks for your testimony and continued efforts for the veterans. Thank you
very much. He confuses us with the facts.
And, yeah, let's not do that. And with that, we will call our next panel. Joe Holliday, please. Carissa Caldwell, and John Wyckoff. And you can direct the panel in whatever, you know, order you want. Please just remember to state your name for the record prior to your testimony and see what you have to say today, and we'll see how many questions we can come up with. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Matthews, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Joe Holliday. I serve the Oregon University System as Assistant Vice Chancellor for Student Success Initiatives. And I'm happy to talk about both bills together because my comments would be fairly repetitive.
Thank you.
Except with one significant difference that I'll point out in a second, but I will be brief. We are looking for a way to support these bills. We do want to support veterans. I wanted to let you know briefly some of the things that we already do for veterans, resident and non-resident, and for active duty and spouses and dependents, so you at least know what we're currently doing. And then just express some general concern, and I am glad to hear that a fiscal would be the next step, because we're trying to get our arms around this and what the impact would be. You're right, there are possibilities of increased revenue because we're attracting non-resident veterans. There's a possibility of losing revenue because we are increasingly dependent on tuition revenue, to meet our operating budget. So that is a concern of ours usually. So what we're already doing, we have, as a result of legislation in 2009, and several of you were on the Veterans Committee then, we have what we call the non-resident veteran fee remission, which is a discount on the non-resident rate. So non-resident veterans who enter Oregon to an OUS school will automatically get a 50% discount on the non-resident tuition. So there's no 1 year of paying non-resident rates, at least not here. It's basically 150% of the resident rate, which is half of the non-resident rate. So we already offer that. We also have, through our residency rules, we protect Oregonians who enter the military from Oregon, and we also offer residency to active duty military who serve in the military and reside in Oregon, and they don't lose that residency. So we are already granting residency for tuition purposes to a fairly significant number of active duty and veterans, and they're paying resident rates when they have the need. So those are some things we have. We also do have a veterans dependent tuition waiver, which is a waiver of the entire tuition and fee costs, and we have the Voyager program that was created to serve the Guard and reservists who were not effectively covered by the GI Bill at the time. So those are the existing services. The concern really is, what is the cost? We're trying to get a handle on that of offering this benefit, and here's where there is a significant difference in House Bill 2162. Because as we read 2162 in the way that it amends our residency rules, it essentially offers resident tuition rates to any active duty military, spouse, or dependent anywhere in the world. And that's a literal take on it, if you will, as we read it. So it may or may not be what was intended in the bill, but it's how we're reading it. And that is of concern. We're not sure how to do a fiscal on that when it opens it up to those serving anywhere in the world with no connection to Oregon whatsoever. And we believe that's one possible result of passing the bill as written. So again, just some concern about cost, wanting a chance to look at the fiscal and then move forward from there. I'll be really quick.
Thank you for that. And yes.
So when the concern about opening it up to anybody in the world, is that you're thinking like your online classes, or
it could,
because otherwise they'd have to physically be here,
right,
in Oregon. So this is, you know, this. So I'm curious what that question really is about.
Chair Matthews, Representative Parrish, members of the committee, that is exactly the case. If distance ed is not somehow excluded, and by the way, when we did create the non-resident veteran fee remission in 2009, we did exclude distance ed and self-support classes as a safeguard against that. So, yeah, that is a concern.
Can I follow up?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess what's the concern with distance ed, given that they're not in your buildings, physically in your buildings? Classes are online. Certainly might change the FTE needed, but feasibly you've got 300 people who want to take classes online from the University of Oregon. They're using their GI Bill. What's the hang-up there?
Right. Representative Matthews, Representative Parrish, members of the committee. I am not an expert on distance education and on the costs and so on for that, but it is sometimes more expensive to offer distance education, so it's not that it's less expensive. In some cases, it's actually more expensive. There's infrastructure, there's information technology, there are other things that go into distance ed programs, but again, I'm just saying that as someone who's just generally knowledgeable about it.
Thank you. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that does bring up a good point that hopefully you'll be able to get some information around that. I guess as we've been working through the interim and looking at these bills, I think my impression always was physical presence in the state to take advantage of it, and I wasn't considering the openness of what it could mean. So very interested in that. Also, I was certainly joking about OUS being able to handle that, and I know you know that. Do you have any idea how many veterans that we do have in the state right now in the OUS system that are paying out-of-state rates? Do you have a number on that?
Representative Matthews, Representative Huffman, members of the committee, we have a general idea of how many veterans are in the Oregon University system. In fall 2012, there were about 2,500 veterans who were actively receiving veterans benefits. We did not yet ask for a breakdown. The fiscal could do that, though. The fiscal analysis could look at the breakdown of who's paying non-resident rates. Great. We could certainly do that.
Yeah, I appreciate that question because, you know, one of the goals of this committee is to get. In fact, Representative Esquivel will be carrying a bill on the floor for DHS and trying to forward information to veterans to get them to where they can access benefits. We only have about 27% of our veterans that are accessing benefits now. So our goal would be get them the benefits they've earned. And in a lot of cases, that might lead to education in your institution. So we certainly understand that there could be an impact of this. It could be a revenue generator versus a fiscal impact. But we just, you know, all things considered. But I still appreciate your testimony, and we want your input along the way because we want it to be meaningful to all parties involved. Anybody else have anything? Mr. Holliday. Thank you, sir.
Representative Matthews, members of the committee. For the record, my name is John Wyckoff from the Oregon Community College Association, and I'm going to also just offer some comments about both of these pieces of legislation. I guess I would start because with a conversation that I had with Mr. Sansusi before the hearing, and when he said he was amenable to a change that we had talked about, it was around the issue of distance education that was the one concern that we flagged was that issue. And he had said that was something that they would be willing to look or be willing to do. I think we would even be open to looking at if you were stationed from Oregon and were overseas doing distance education, we would have no problem with that. It would be open to every member of the military in every part of the world, regardless of where they were stationed. We were concerned about sort of having issues about the volume that we might get if a lot of other states weren't doing this. Having said that, I mean that's the one reservation we have, and I think we all agree and with the Department of Defense that is something we could change. We are generally supportive of both these concepts. It's most of our colleges are doing in-state tuition, or we don't. For the most part, we don't charge out-of-state tuition. Functionally, we have it. It's not something that our colleges use. This is a change we'd be very comfortable doing. And for a lot of our colleges, this isn't even a change. So both 2158 and 2162, with the exception of the piece around distance education, which we'd like to clarify. We support both of these concepts, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
I appreciate that. Any questions, Mr. Wyckoff? We'll continue.
Just a comment, oh, Mr. Chair. Something that John brought up, if we could look at Senate Bill 275, did that require a report back on veterans that come back, go to a community college or one of the universities, and apply for credit for military training and schooling? If it didn't require a report, Mr. Chair, it'd be really nice sometime to be able to have a hearing where we could get an update on if veterans are starting to take advantage of that. And it ties in with this, I think, because if they come into the community college And the concept always was if they can get some credit for military service training and yep. schooling, that they would go ahead and continue. And I don't remember if there was an aspect of 275 that specified residency or not. Do you guys recall? Okay.
I don't recall. I do know that part of our plan and strategy moving forward is to kind of review bills of the past, particularly the package in 09 that came through these committees, this particular committee, to see just what hit the mark, what missed the target, what's working, what's not, what can we get our hands on and do better. Some of the conversations we've had in just the couple terms I've been here have centered around how do we use some of that experience and get that, you know, accredited to where it's meaningful towards a transcript. And those have been, you know, good dialogues. I don't know about a report back, but it certainly would be something I'd like to see. And given the fact that there's 19 states now doing this, 14 considering, I think there's probably some predictability that could be built into the consideration that we're giving today as well. And I understand completely the argument about everybody in the military, you know, throughout this great nation and the world having access to online and using their benefits in Oregon that way. I understand where you're going there, so I appreciate your comment. Anybody else have anything for Mr. Wyckoff? Ms. Caldwell.
So, Representative Matthews, members of the committee, my name is Krista Caldwell. I'm the Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. And may I respond to Representative Huffman's question?
Absolutely.
We did a training. I think you're talking about the ACE training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we did training for the community colleges and the universities and the private schools to get people back up to speed on what the requirements are and how that system works. From that, I think you'll recall there was a report from Clackamas Community College in the Walmart grant that they got to do some of this translation with specific MOSs, and they did a real in-depth look at auto mechanic specifically to see the training and experience. Well, it was actually the training that was taken in the military and how it translates to credit at Clackamas, and then they're sharing that information across the state with the other community colleges the best they can. They're continuing that work, and that might be a good presentation to see where they are at this point, because that work has evolved and there's some pretty exciting things that are happening. One of the something that has grown out of that is a distance course for veterans that's now available to crosswalk what they've learned in project management, because so much project management other curriculum is actually taught by the military. So giving them credit for that and the other portion to make up what they're missing by course or for the program will be available in a distance course. They're working on that now. We felt that that was one area that it would lead to an AA degree. That would be not easy. None of it's easy, but the crosswalk has happened, and it would be consistent across the state, and the coursework would be consistent. So it would be a way for someone in our rural communities to be able to get an AA degree online. So that's something pretty exciting that's come from that work. But I think a presentation from them on the continued work they've done with the crosswalking would be valuable.
That'd be great.
Great. Thank you. Dr. Holliday, yes.
Thank you, Chair Matthews, members of the committee. I actually have an answer to Representative Huffman's earlier question as I thought about it. I believe your question was how many veterans are paying the non-resident tuition rates. And as I thought about that, I realized that no veterans who come forward and request the non-resident veteran fee remission are paying non-resident rates. They're paying the discounted rate. And I do know that we have about 100 students that we know of who are taking advantage of that fee remission right now. So that's somewhat of an answer to your question.
Yes, Vice Chair Parrish.
Thank you. I also want to just ask real fast about the notion of capped or uncapped enrollment at either both the community colleges or at the OUS system, because we also heard that recently, that we don't have registration caps. Can you speak to that?
I believe for Chair Matthews, Representative Parrish, for most of our colleges, we don't cap so much as we have waiting lists for courses, and they're first come, first serve. It's pretty straightforward. But the colleges don't cap enrollment so much as we just simply have waiting lists, especially as we've had our enrollment kind of skyrocket through the recession. That is starting to level off, but we functionally will probably continue to do so, especially in our more popular and high demand course areas.
Chair Matthews, Representative Parrish, members of the committee, I don't want to wing that one. That too caught me by surprise there. I could go find out for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you. Members, any questions? No questions. And I guess I'm curious, we have a Dash 1 amendment being offered from Mr. Sanssouci that deals with the difference of a, let's see here. It is... Line 6 of the printed bill would be after undergraduate to insert or graduate student. Would there be any different fiscal analysis if applied to graduate students? Would it be any different than undergraduate in your systems?
Chair Matthews, members of the committee, probably that answer is for me, questions for me, rather. Yes, in the sense that graduate tuition rates typically are higher, so there could be, again, that's that complicated analysis. There could be more tuition revenue, there could be a loss of tuition revenue, so we'd have to add that in. It's a separate fee structure, though, tuition structure.
And if the Dash 1 were to be added or adopted into the bill, I think we'd probably need to do both, I would imagine.
And Chair Matthews, just to clarify what Joe was saying, we just simply don't have graduate programs.
No, I understand. Thank you. Yeah, I know. I'm one of your attendees, clearly. Committee members, anything else for the good of the order for the folks here on the panel? I would like to say that our intent would be to work through this bill, Representative Escobel.
Well, actually, I have to, not the panel itself.
Okay. So I'm hoping we can work through the bill and start having this dialogue and figure this out. It's still kind of early in the session, but things are moving rapidly. We don't want to be a committee that moves so rapid that we overlook the details, but I believe it would be the chair's intent that we could get somewhere on this bill and bring forward something meaningful. I'm hoping that the impact would appear much like it has recently in other studies where there could be a revenue gain for the system in getting this out to the veterans. As I said before, if we're fortunate enough to be successful, then veterans will be identified throughout the state and accessing the benefits they've earned. And hopefully that means they'll be taking advantage of the opportunity for education. So that would be our goal with the fact that DHS is on board. The fact that DMV and ODOT has been on board, there's a sub-referral, and I'm telling you this so that you understand kind of which train is on the tracks. We're certainly thinking that with the amount of contact DMV has with folks, asking the simple phrase, are you a veteran, and then can we refer your information to ODVA, will again generate revenue to the state in a lot of different ways, not just in the university system, but in our communities and small business and different endeavors and for folks that have earned that benefit. So appreciate your testimony, and personally, if I'm mishearing you, correct me, but I'm not hearing you say no. I'm just hearing you say there's some things we need to look at and there's some questions we'd like to work through. Can we have a little more time? And we're certainly willing to work with you on that. Yeah, thank you very much. Dr. Holliday, Ms. Caldwell, thank you. Mr. Wyckoff, appreciate your time today. Thank you. And I'll ask, is there anybody else that would like to speak about either of the bills, House Bill 2158 or House Bill 2162? And then I'll also give one last chance to Mr. Sanssouci. Mark, if there's anything that you might have heard that you'd like to clarify or address, feel free to come forward. As your time is very valuable in the state as well, and thank you.
Yes,
for
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. On the amendment relative to graduate school, there are enlisted people who have bachelor's degrees who become veterans who want to continue their education, so then they want to get graduate degrees, just as there are young captains with bachelor's degrees who are now veterans, move to Oregon and want to get graduate degrees, and the other states that are doing this are including the graduate school system, and that's why I caught that and asked if you can consider that also. So just wanted to make sure that was the reason why we're looking for that. Thank you.
Understood. Okay. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thank you. And we have him, one last opportunity for the committee. Thank you, Mr. Sanssouci.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yes. And not seeing anybody else here to testify on House Bill 2158 or 2162, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2158 and 2162. And committee members, we are kind of flying somewhat fast and furious. I apologize a bit for it, but I'm also saying there's some work being done, and we appreciate that. If there's an interest on anybody on the committee of working through this with us as we move forward, happy to include you in what might be some sort of an informal work group. So you can just let us know, and we certainly will do that. Representative Esquivel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Witt, Chair Witt of Ag and Natural Resource, and myself and the committee this morning came through with a bill that will be the first in the nation to allow people that are actively in the military within our state that may not even be a resident of our state to have hunting licenses at resident fees. It's the first time in America, and I really applaud the committee for coming forward with that, because I just can't believe that we don't do that in all 50 states.
Well, and we always say that, we don't get a large volume of bills in this committee. I know the Senate Committee for Veterans has fewer. We keep arguing that we need to have this Veterans Committee, and yet, we still all have some priority bills. If there's needs out there that we're seeing, we can get those drafted as well. But that's great, and thanks for your leadership. It doesn't surprise me that the two co-chairs of this committee are working together again yet on another way to serve veterans. Appreciate it very much. So one more word out of you, and you're going to be in trouble. But
thank you for the field promotion.
Absolutely. Anybody have anything for the good of the order? And with that, I will just say, again, we'll continue our work, and thank you. And Representative Esquivel, you have the bill on DHS being carried on the floor. We are still going to be working on the fiscal that comes with the DMV vote, the ODOT bill. There's also one of the therapy dogs. A lot of things get referred out of this committee, and my vow is to follow them through to their next committee so that we can try to get these moved more than just a statement from this committee of supporting veterans, but a statement of the institution. Yes.
Mr. Chair, we talk a lot in this committee about trying to identify veterans and let them know what their benefits are and stuff. And, I'm one of those guys that I knew that there was a benefit out there that I just never had taken advantage of. And so I'm a fairly new recipient of a state parks tag for disabled veterans that allows me access for day use or camping or whatever. And, it's one of those things I knew about the program. I just never had sat down and applied for it. And it was quite easy. ODVA and state parks, or not ODVA, but federal VA and state parks were both very cooperative, and it took probably 2 weeks total, and it was done. So I think some of the times we're just busy and don't take advantage of certain things that we may even know are out there.
Well, and rather than take advantage, I'd say seize the opportunity. You've earned it. And I am in the same boat along with lots of our veterans. I've not contacted ODVA. I've not surrendered my Social Security number. And I've never asked what my benefits are due. I should. And I intend to. I think they'll probably tell me to go finish school, and that'll be a good thing. But no, that's just one more thing. And I appreciate the interest on this committee and everybody on it to serve our veterans. And I do mean that. Thank you very much for your work, and I appreciate it. I will say tomorrow, Director Willis is having his retirement ceremony in the governor's office. That is at 11:30. Is that right, Ms. Edwards? So, committee members, Director Willis, retirement in the governor's office at 11:30. If you'd like to be there and say farewell to Jim, he's done a lot of great things, and we've honored him in this committee, and we'll honor him again tomorrow. But
sorry, I missed that.
Looking forward to that.
11:30 tomorrow.
11:30 tomorrow. Yes, Representative. And so, just so everybody has it on the calendar, appreciate that. And with that, I believe, if there's nothing else for the good of the order, this committee is adjourned. Thank you.